వక్రతుండ మహాకాయ సూర్యకోటి సమప్రభ నిర్విఘ్నం కురు మే దేవ సర్వకార్యషు సర్వదా. శివశక్త్యాయుక్తో యది భవతి శక్తః ప్రభవితుం న చేదేవం దేవో న ఖలు కుశలః స్పందితుమపి. అతస్త్వామారాధ్యా హరిహర విరించాదిభిరపి ప్రణంతుం స్తోతుం వా కతమకృత పుణ్యః ప్రభవతి.
Sri Sai Ram, my most loving and prayerful salutations at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, Sri Satya Sai Baba. Dear listener, you are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony on Asia Stream, bringing you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the love and the message of Bhagwan, Sri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning, greetings and loving Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam, and with me Team Radio Sai Sunil welcoming you to this morning's segment Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashant Nilayam. Today is the 28th of November 2019, and let me first read out to you today's Sai Inspires message. What can we do to relieve our pain and suffering? Bhagwan explains how we can diagnose the real problem and seek relief. And I quote, "Frustration is caused by wrong diagnosis of the root cause of suffering. By massaging one's head, can you relieve an excruciating pain in the stomach? Delay does not matter. Discover the real root of the problem or the trouble and then do the remedy. The real remedy for all troubles is attachment and illusion. Married couples think they will be happy when they get a child, but that is just the beginning of a series of worries. They worry about the child's health, habits, schooling, friends, marriage, career prospects, and so on in an endless chain. The mind multiplies the roots of worry, anxiety, and grief. Cultivate detachment, not attachment. Dwell on the great heritage of humankind. Then you will give up attachment and not engage yourself in low thoughts, words, or deeds. Contemplate on dharma, satya and prema, righteousness, truth and love, which are the foundations of humanity, and that will guide all your actions to be righteous." Unquote. This was taken from a divine discourse delivered by Bhagwan on November 6th, 1967. Dear listener, the time right now in our studios is 45 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. And today in Divine Glory, I've lined up for you readings from the English version of the holy book Sri Sai Satcharitra, written by Sri Hemant Pant, followed by the first part of a Tryst with Divinity conversation with Mr. V.S.R. Murthy, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan Baba. First, readings from Sri Sai Satcharitra. Sri Sai Satcharitra is an account on the life and teachings of Sai Baba of Shirdi, written by Sri Hemad Pant. We are thankful to Vasanthi Sundaram for reading out the contents from this holy book and to Veeramani Kannan for the melodious musical support. Wishing you all a holy and blessed Thursday and a wonderful day ahead. And here it is for your listening pleasure.
Chapter 29, Stories of Chennai's Bhajani Mela, Tendulkar's Father and Son, Dr. Captain Hatte, Woman Narvekar. This chapter describes other interesting and wonderful stories of Sai Baba. Chennai's Bhajani Mela. It was in the year 1916 when a Chennai's Bhajani Mela, party of Ramdasi Pant, started on a pilgrimage to the holy city of Banaras. The party consisted of a man, his wife, daughter and sister-in-law. Unfortunately, their names are not mentioned. On their way, the party heard that there lived in Shirdi, Ahmednagar district, a great saint named Sai Baba, who was God-realized and who was very generous and distributed money every day to his bhaktas and to skillful persons who went and showed their talent there. A lot of money in the form of dakshina was collected daily by Sai Baba, and out of this amount, he gave daily 1 rupee to a 3-year girl, Amani, the daughter of a Bhakta Kondaji, and 2 rupees to 5 rupees to Sam, 6 rupees to Jamali, the mother of Amani, and 10 to 20 rupees or even 50 rupees to other Bhaktas as he pleased. On hearing all this, the party came to Shirdi and stayed there. The Mela did very good bhajan and sang very good songs, but inwardly they desired money. 3 of the party were full of avarice, but the lady or mistress was of a very different nature. She had regard and love for Baba. Once it so happened that when the noonday aarti was going on, Baba was much pleased with her faith and devotion and gave her vision of her Ishta deity. To her, Baba appeared as Sitanath, while to others the usual Sainath. On seeing her beloved deity, she was very much moved. Tears began to flow from her eyes and she clapped her hands in joy. The people began to wonder at her joyful mood, but were not able to guess its cause. Late in the afternoon, she disclosed everything to her husband. She told him how she saw Sri Ram in Sai Baba. He thought that she was a very simple and devout woman and her seeing Ram might be a creation of her mind. He ignored her, saying it was not possible that she alone should see Ram while they all saw Sai Baba there. She did not resent this remark, as she was fortunate enough to get Ram Darshan. Wonderful vision. Things were going on like this when the husband got a strange vision in his dream one night. He was in a big city. The police there had arrested him, tied his hands with a rope and put him in a cage. As the police were tightening the grip, he saw Sai Baba standing quiet outside near the cage. On seeing Baba so close, he said in a plaintive tone, "After hearing your fame, I resorted to your feet. Then why should a calamity befall me when you are standing here in person?" Baba said, "You must suffer the consequences of your action." He said, "I have not done anything in this life which would bring such misfortune on me." Baba said, "If not in this life, you must have committed some sin in your past life." He replied, "I do not know anything of my past life, but assuming that I did commit some sin, then why should it not be burnt and destroyed in your presence as happens to dry grass before fire?" Baba said, "Have you got such faith?" The man said, "Yes." Baba then asked him to close his eyes. No sooner did he shut them than he heard a thumping sound of something falling down, and after opening his eyes, he saw that he was free and the police fallen down bleeding. Being much frightened, he began to look at Baba, who said, "Now you are well caught. Officers will now come and arrest you." The man begged, "There is no other savior except you. Save me somehow." Then Baba again asked him to close his eyes. He did so, and when he opened them again, he saw he was free out of the cage and that Baba was by his side. He then fell at Baba's feet. Baba then asked him, "Is there any difference between this namaskar and your previous ones? Think well and then reply." The man said, "There is a lot of difference. My former namaskars were offered with the object of getting money from you, but the present namaskar is one offered to you as God. Besides, earlier I thought resentfully that you being a Muslim was spoiling us, the Hindus." Baba said, "Do you not believe in your mind in Muslim gods?" The man said, "No." Baba replied, "Have you not got a panja in your house and do you not worship the same in Tabut, that is Muharram festival? Also, there is in your house another deity by named Kat Bibi, whom you respect and appease on marriage occasions and other festivals. Is it not so?" The man admitted all this. Then Baba said, "What more do you want?" A desire arose in his mind to get the darshan of his Guru Ram Das when Baba asked him to turn back and see. And when he turned around, lo, Ram Das was in front of him. No sooner did he bend to fall at his feet, Ram Das vanished. Then he asked Baba, "You look old. Do you know your age?" Baba said, "What? Do you say I'm old? Just race with me and see." On saying this, Baba began to run and he too followed. Baba disappeared in the dust raised by his footsteps while running, and at that moment, man was awakened. After awakening, he began to think seriously about the dream vision. His mental attitude was completely changed and he realized the greatness of Baba. After this, his doubting tendencies disappeared and pure devotion to Baba's feet descended on his mind. The vision was a mere dream, but the questions and answers therein were most significant and interesting. Next morning, when all the persons assembled in the masjid for the aarti, Baba gave him as prasad 2 rupees worth sweetmeats and also 2 rupees from his pocket and blessed him. He made him stay there for a few more days and gave him his blessing saying, "Allah will give you plenty and He will do you all good." He did not get more money there, but he got far better things, Baba's blessing, which stood him in good stead all along. The party got plenty of money later and their pilgrimage was successful as they did not suffer any trouble or inconvenience during their journey. They all returned home safe, thinking of Baba's words and blessings and the bliss they experienced by His grace. This story illustrates one of the methods that Baba followed in some cases to improve and reform his devotees. Tendulkar family. There lived in Bandra a Tendulkar family, all the members of which were devoted to Baba. Mrs. Savitri Bai Tendulkar has published a Marathi book named Sri Sainath Bhajan Mala, containing 800 abhangas and padas, describing the leelas of Baba. It is a book worth reading by those who are interested in Baba. The son, Babu Tendulkar, was studying hard day and night and wanted to appear for the medical examination. He consulted some astrologers. On examining his horoscope, they told him that the stars were not favorable that year and that he should appear for the examination next year when he would be certainly successful. This cast a gloom over him and made him restless. A few days later, his mother went to Shirdi and saw Baba. Among other things, she mentioned the gloomy and morose condition of her son who was to appear for the examination in a few days. On hearing this, Baba said to her, "Tell your son to believe me, to throw aside horoscopes and predictions of astrologers and palmists and go on with his studies. Let him appear for the examination with a calm mind. He is sure to pass this year. Ask him to trust me and not to get disappointed." The mother returned home and communicated Baba's message to her son. Then he studied hard and in due course appeared for the examination. In the written papers he did well, but being overtaken by doubt, he thought that he would not secure sufficient marks for passing. So he did not care to appear for the oral examination. But the examiner was after him. He sent word through a fellow student stating that he had passed in the written examination and that he should appear for the oral. The son, being thus encouraged, appeared for the oral examination and was successful in it too. Thus, he got through the examination that year successfully by Baba's grace, although the stars were against him as indicated. It is to be noted here that doubts and difficulties surround us just to move us and confirm our faith. We are tested, as it were. If we only hold on steadily to Baba with full faith and continue our endeavor, our efforts will be ultimately crowned with success. The father of this boy, Raghunath Rao, was serving in some foreign mercantile firm in Mumbai. As he grew old, he was not able to attend to his work properly, and so he had to leave and rest. As he did not improve during the period of leave, a further extension of leave or premature retirement from service was inevitable. The chief manager of the firm decided to retire him on pension, as he was an old and a reliable servant. The question regarding the amount of pension to be given was under consideration. He was getting 150 rupees per month, and his pension, that is half the amount, rupees 75, would not be enough to meet the expenses of the family. So they were all anxious about this matter. 15 days before the final settlement, Baba appeared to Mrs. Tendulkar in her dream and said, "I wish that 100 rupees should be settled as pension. Will this satisfy you?" Mrs. Tendulkar replied, "Baba, why ask me this? We fully trust in you." Though Baba said 100 rupees, still he was given 10 rupees more, that is 110 rupees as a special case. Such wonderful love and care did Baba exhibit towards his bhaktas. Captain Hatte. Captain Hatte, who was staying in Bikaner, was a great devotee of Baba. Once, Baba appeared to him in his dream and said, "Did you forget me?" Hatte then immediately held Baba's feet and replied, "If a child forgets his mother, how could he be saved?" Then Hatte went into the garden and took out fresh Valpapadi vegetables, and after arranging Shiddha and Dakshina, was about to offer all of this to Baba, when he was awakened and came to know that the whole thing was a dream. He decided to send all these things to Baba at Shirdi. When he came to Gwalior some days later, he sent rupees 12 by money order to a friend with instructions that 2 rupees should be spent in buying Siddha articles and Valpapadi vegetables, and those should be offered to Baba with 10 rupees as Dakshina. The friend went to Shirdi and purchased the things mentioned, but Valpapadi was not available. In a short time, a woman turned up with a basket on her head, which curiously enough contained the Valpapadi vegetables. It was purchased, and then all the things were offered to Baba on behalf of Captain Hatte. Mr. Nimonkar prepared the naivedya of rice and Valpapadi vegetables the next day and offered the same to Baba. All the people were surprised to see that Baba, while dining, took and ate Valpapadi and did not touch rice and other things. Hatte's joy knew no bounds when he learnt this from his friend. Consecrated rupee. At another time, Captain Hatte wished that he should have in his house a rupee consecrated by Baba with his touch. He came across a friend who was bound for Shirdi. Through him, Hatte sent his rupee. The friend went to Shirdi and, after the usual salutation, gave first his dakshina, which Baba accepted. Then he gave Hatte's rupee, which Baba took in his hand and began to gaze at it. He held it in front, tossed it up with his right thumb and played with it. Then he said to the friend, "Return this to its owner with the prasad of Udi. Tell him that I want nothing from him. Ask him to live in peace and contentment." The friend returned to Gwalior, handed over the consecrated rupee to Hatte and told him all that happened at Shirdi. This time, Hatte was much pleased and realized that Baba always encouraged good thoughts and as he wished intently. Vaman Narvekar. Now, let the readers hear a different story. A gentleman named Vaman Narvekar loved Baba very much. He once brought a rupee. On one side of it were engraved the figures of Ram, Lakshman and Sita, and on the reverse side was engraved the figure of Maruti with folded hands. He offered it to Baba with the hope that he should consecrate it with his touch and return it to him with Udi. But Baba immediately pocketed it. Then Shama spoke to Baba regarding Vaman Rao's intention and requested him to return it. Then Baba spoke in the presence of Vaman Rao, "Why should it be returned to him? We should keep it ourselves. If he gives 25 rupees for it, it will be returned." Then, for the sake of that rupee, Vaman Rao collected 25 rupees and placed them before Baba. Then Baba said, "The value of that rupee far exceeds 25 rupees. Shama, take this rupee. Let us have it in our store. Keep this in your shrine and worship it." No one had the courage to ask Baba why he followed this peculiar action. He only knows what is best and most suitable to each and all. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 30. Drawn to Shirdi. Kakaji Vaidya of Vani, Ramlal Punjabi of Mumbai. In this chapter, the story of two more devotees who were drawn to Shirdi is narrated. Preliminary. Bow to the kind Sai, who is the abode of mercy and who is affectionate towards his devotees. By his mere darshan, he does away with their fear of worldly illusions and destroys the calamities. He was first Nirgun, but on account of the devotion of his bhaktas, he was obliged to take a form. To give liberation, self-realization to the bhaktas is the mission of the saints, and for Sai, the chief of them, that mission is inevitable. Those who take refuge in his feet have all their sins destroyed, and their progress is certain. Remembering his feet, Brahmins from holy places come to him and read scriptures and chant the Gayatri Mantra in his presence. We who are weak and without any merits do not know what bhakti is, but we know this much, that though all others may leave us, Sai won't forsake us. Those whom he favors get enormous strength, discrimination between the unreal and the real, and knowledge. Sai knows fully the desire of his devotees and fulfills the same. Hence, they get what they want and are grateful. So we invoke him and prostrate ourselves before him. Forgetting all our faults, let him free us from all anxieties. He who, being overcome with calamities, remembers and prays Sai thus, will get his mind calmed and pacified through his grace. This Sai, the ocean of mercy, says Hemat Pant, favored him, and the result of this is a present work, Sai Satcharitra. Otherwise, what qualifications had he to undertake this enterprise? But as Sai took all the responsibility, Hemat Pant felt no burden, nor any care about this. When the powerful light of knowledge was there to inspire his speech and pen, why should he entertain any doubt or feel any anxiety? Sai got the service in the form of this book done by him. This is due to the accumulation of his merits in the past births, and therefore he thinks himself fortunate and blessed. The following story is not a mere tale, but pure nectar. He who drinks it will realize Sai's greatness and all-pervasiveness. Those who want to argue and criticize should not go in for this. What is wanted here is not discussion, but unlimited love and devotion. Learned devout and faithful believers, or those who consider themselves as servants of the saints, will like and appreciate these stories. Others will take them to be fables. The fortunate bhaktas of Sai will find the Sai Leelas as a kalpatru. Drinking in or devouring this nectar of Sai Leelas will give liberation to the ignorant jivas, satisfaction to the householders, and a sadhana to the aspirants. Now, we come to the story of this chapter. Kakaji Vaidya. There lived in Vani, Nasik district, a man named Kakaji Vaidya. He was the priest of the goddess Saptashringi there. He was so overpowered by adverse circumstances and calamities that he lost peace of mind and became quite restless. Under such circumstances, one evening, he went into the temple of the goddess and prayed unto her from the bottom of his heart and invoked her aid to free him from anxiety. The goddess was pleased with his devotion, and the same night appeared to him in his dream and said, "You go to Baba, and then your mind will become calm and composed." Kakaji was anxious to know from her who this Baba was, but before he could get any explanation, he was awakened. Then he began to think as to who might be this Baba to whom the goddess had asked him to go. After some thinking, he resolved this Baba might be Trayambakeshwar, Lord Shiva. So he went to the holy place Trayambak in Nasik district and stayed there for 10 days. During this period, he bathed early in the morning, chanted the Rudra hymns, did the Abhishek, and did other religious rites. But with all this, he was as restless as before. Then he returned to the place and again invoked the goddess most pitifully. That night, she again appeared in his dream and said, "Why did you go to Trayambakeshwar in vain? I mean by Baba, Sri Sai Samarth of Shirdi." The question before Kakaji now was how and when to go to Shirdi and how to see Baba. If anybody is in real earnest to see a saint, not only the saint but God also fulfills his wish. In fact, the saint and the Ananth are one and the same. There is not the least difference between them. If anybody thinks that he will go on his own wish and see a saint, that will be a mere boast. Unless the saint wills it, no one is able to go and see him. Even the leaf of the tree will not move without his bidding. The more anxious a bhakta is for the visit to the saint, the more devout and faithful he is, the more speedily and effectively is his wish satisfied to his heart's content. He who invites anybody for a visit also arranges everything for his reception, and so it happened with Kakaji. Shama's vows. When Kakaji was thinking about his intended visit to Shirdi, a guest came to him at his place to take him to Shirdi. He was no other than Shama, a very close and intimate devotee of Baba. How he came to Vani at this juncture, we shall just see. Shama was severely ill when he was very young, and his mother had taken a vow to her family goddess Saptashringi at Vani that if her son got well, she would bring him and dedicate him at her feet. Then after some years, the mother herself suffered much from ringworms on her breasts. At that time, she again took another vow to her deity that if she got all right, she would offer her 2 silver breasts. These 2 vows remained unfulfilled. At her deathbed, she called her son Shama and drew his attention to the vows, and after taking a promise from him that he would fulfill them, she breathed her last. After some time, Shama forgot about these vows, and thus 30 years elapsed. About this time, a famous astrologer had come to Shirdi and stayed there for a month. His predictions in the case of Sriman Bhuti and others came true, and everybody was satisfied. Shama's younger brother Bapaji consulted him and was told about his mother's vows, which his elder brother had promised to fulfill at her deathbed and not yet fulfilled. Hence the goddess was displeased with them, and that was bringing troubles on them. Bapaji told this to his brother Shama, who was then reminded of the unfulfilled vows. On thinking that any further delay would be dangerous, he called a goldsmith and got a pair of silver breasts prepared. Then he went to the masjid, prostrated himself before Baba, and placing before him the 2 silver breasts, requested him to accept them and free him from the vows, as to him he was his Saptashringi goddess. Then Baba insisted upon him to go himself to the temple of Saptashringi and offer them at the feet of the goddess. Thus, after taking Baba's permission and Udi, he left for Vani and was searching for the priest, reached Kakaji's house. Kakaji was then very anxious to visit Baba, and Shama went there to see him at that very time. What a wonderful coincidence was this! Kakaji asked him who he was and where he had come from. And on learning that he had come from Shirdi, he at once embraced him. So overwhelmed was he with love Then they talked about Sai Leelas, and after finishing the rites of Shama's vows, they both started for Shirdi. On reaching the place, Kakaji went to the masjid and fell at Baba's feet. His eyes were soon filled with tears and his mind attained calmness. According to the vision of the goddess, no sooner did he see Baba, his mind lost all its restlessness and became calm and composed. Kakaji began to think in his mind, "What a wonderful power is this?" Baba spoke nothing. There wasn't a question and answer. No benediction pronounced. The mere darshan itself was so conducive to happiness. The restlessness of my mind disappeared by his mere darshan. Consciousness of joy came upon me. This is what is called the greatness of darshan. His vision was fixed on Sai's feet and he could utter no word. Hearing Baba's leelas, his joy knew no bounds. He surrendered himself completely to Baba, forgot his anxiety and cares, and got undiluted happiness. He lived happily there for 12 days, and after taking Baba's leave, udi and blessings, he returned home.
Sai Guruvar ki paramanand sada.
to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
Sidearm, dear listener, we now bring you an episode of Tryst with Divinity, our series of conversations with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan. In today's episode, we bring you the first part of the conversation with Mr. V.S.R. Murthy. In conversation with him is Radio Sight's Bishop Roshti, and this was recorded on July 13, 2013.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to this special conversation with Mr. V.S.R. Murthy. He is known for his brilliant eloquence, especially in the Telugu language, having delivered hundreds of talks all over India and abroad. He is also a regular guest speaker in TV channels and All India Radio, expounding on science and spirituality. In fact, he is an academic council member of Institute of Scientific Research on the Vedas, established in 2005 in Hyderabad. He has authored 12 books on Indian spirituality, deliberating on the philosophy of Sri Adi Shankara to our Lord Bhagwan Baba, a plethora of ideas and personalities and their philosophies are contained in these precious books. In fact, he has been a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan, having come to his feet way back in 1962. So it's almost half a century of association with Bhagwan. And I should also mention here that when Radio Sai inaugurated its new studio in Tirupati in April 2012, he delivered one of the keynote addresses. Again, he was very much there and gave an excellent presentation during the new studio inauguration in Shivam in Hyderabad that happened last year. So he has been actively involved with the Telugu stream of Radio Sai almost since its inception. So it's really my pleasure and privilege to have him in the studio today, speaking to us not in Telugu, but for a change in English, so that our listeners in other streams, in Asia stream, Afri stream and Ameri stream, also benefit from his insights and elucidations. So a warm welcome to you, sir, to the studios and to this English program.
Sairam, brother.
Today is July 13th and tomorrow the Guru Purnima celebrations in Prashantinilayam begin. In fact, even though the Guru Purnima is on July 22nd, the celebrations begin tomorrow itself. There's a program by the students of Bhagwan's University tomorrow, and then from 18th, you have regular everyday programs, people coming from Poland to UK to US, and the celebrations go on even after 22nd till 1st of August. So I thought, since Bhagwan has arranged that we have this conversation during this period, it would be nice if you can share your insights and reflections on Bhagwan as the Sadguru. Because to me, I feel that is what Bhagwan is. He is the teacher supreme. He is the preceptor unparalleled. He may be a mother, father, friend, etc., or companion to anyone, but I think to everyone and for all time to come, and doesn't matter whether he is a devotee or a non-devotee or whichever state of level of spiritual evolvement he is or she is, Swami is the Sadguru for all. This is my personal opinion.
True.
I would like to know what your thoughts are on this theme.
Indeed, he is the Sadguru. ತುರ್ಯಾತೀತಪದಸ್ಥಿತಾಂ ಸಕರುಣಂ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಗ್ನಿಶೀಲಸ್ಥಿತಾಂ ಮಜ್ಜನ್ಮಾಂತರ ಪುಣ್ಯಪಾಕವಶತ್ಪ್ರಾಪ್ತಂ ಸದ್ಗುರುಂ ಸಚ್ಚಸಾಯೀಶ್ವರಂ. ದಿ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಡಾನ್ಡ್ ದ ರೋಬ್ ಆಫ್ ಎ ಹ್ಯೂಮನ್ ಬಾಡಿ, ನೇಮ್ಡ್ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಆಸ್ ಸತ್ಯ ಅಂಡ್ ಗೈಡೆಡ್ ದ ಹ್ಯುಮ್ಯಾನಿಟಿ ಟುವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಅಲ್ಟಿಮೇಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ರಿಯಲೈಸೇಷನ್. ಗುರು, according to one Vedantic definition, who dispels ignorance.
Yes.
That is a simple statement.
Dispels darkness.
Yeah, darkness, yes. And ignorance. Ignorance is darkness there.
Yes.
It symbolizes.
Yes.
But Bhagavan's definition is far more bigger and wider.
Yes.
It encompasses all times and spaces available. Swami says, a person without any body consciousness is Sadguru. Not teacher alone, preacher alone.
The one who has transcended the body.
Transcended the body consciousness, that body level, is Sadguru. And also, a person devoid of wants or desires is Sadguru.
Yes, Swami says man minus desire is God.
God. Third, renunciation of all the worldly pleasures. In fact, the renunciation of ahankara, the ego, and mamakara, the bondage. If one possesses these three qualities, you can call him the Sadguru, according to our beloved Bhagavan.
Okay, so you said the one who is beyond body consciousness.
Right.
The one who is beyond desires. And the one who
embodies the renunciation. Embodiment of renunciation. These three are new dimensions and dynamics opened up to the world by Bhagavan.
So only God can be your guru and Sadguru.
That is why, because Swami is Guru, Swami is Sadguru, because he is God.
Yes.
So as far as Swami is concerned, he is Guru and God both.
Yes. And going by this definition that Bhagavan has given of Guru, only God can be our Guru, true Guru.
True Guru. And he opens up the path of wisdom, second one. He doesn't merely come here to fulfill the human desires and wants.
Yes.
That is at a very, very fundamental and a rudimentary level. When a Sadguru is found in our lives, what he does, what is his action? First, he will show you a path of light. You move on this path, you are sure to reach the destination. What is the destination? There is self-realization. To know that we are not mere body alone. We are much beyond the body. Who can say that? Who transcended all those levels can alone teach us. So, according to me, Bhagavan Sri Sat Sai Baba is indeed a Sadguru God combo.
Wonderful, sir. So if you can share how you have experienced this in your life.
Just now I recited one shloka. It is a middle shlokam. But for the benefit of the listener and to express myself, I will recite another two shlokas.
Sure.
The one is Saundaryasara Sarvasvam Mandasmita Manoharam Vandaru Janamandaram Vande Sai Maheshwaram. That is at physical level. My Swami is endearing. My Swami is beautiful. My Swami smiles so much so that the mind will be under control and all. That is at physical level. Physical level is not ultimate. That is the first step. God has given an intellect. We have to use the intellect and try to probe and try to explore how my Guru is. Then how can we know? How can we certify that Swami is Sadguru? Mat janmantara punyapaka vishat praptam. I have come across so many births. During these births, during these times, this ultimate God guided me only to reach the final sakara. That is how Swami is Sadguru to me in this life. The third is spiritual level. So physical, metaphysical, and then spiritual. In spiritual level, alambena vihinam yomabham paripurnam nishabdam guru rupam tat brahma sparatanme. Tat brahma, that, what we call. Ultimately, we have to realize that we are that, we are not this. So this is the spiritual journey, and he is a purna, he is total, again he is shunya, he is empty. He is like the sky, unapproachable. It appears as sky, but it is not sky. Then we have several levels of skies, like Dharakasha, Chidakasha, Chittakasha, Bhumyakasha, Bhaumakasha, so many things are there.
Oh my God.
So, if we can transcend all these levels, through use your own intellect as the tool, remove all hurdles, finally you see the light and you are the light. A Sadguru alone can say you are the light. A Sadguru alone can address as Divyatma Swarupulara.
Yes.
Premaatma Swarupulara. Because Prema, Atma, they are synonym with each other. So Divyatma, you are the supreme. You are not different from me. I and you are one and the same. That is why Swami is Sadguru. And I had several experiences at physical level.
Sure. Please, why don't you narrate to us?
As a student, as a young boy of 11 and a half, 12 year old, when I first came to Prashantrilayam, the charming, the endearing form of Swami has really enthralled me.
Mm-hmm.
And the very moment I saw him, I found he is God. He cannot be a simple human being.
It was just
by mere first sight has revealed the inner divinity.
You didn't have any doubts as a 12-year-old?
Zero. In fact, I came only just to see Swami, how he looks.
Someone told you about
someone,
him?
No, it was there in a paper, Telugu newspaper, a small four-line column. The Lord Krishna has come back onto this planet Earth in the form of such a sai. Swami was standing on a bullock cart.
On a bullock cart?
Bullock cart. That was a very rare photograph. I found very small photo, maybe 2 inch by 1.5 inch by 1.5 inch. Then that news item attracted me. I came here.
You were in Hyderabad then?
No, I was in Prakasham district, deeper, some village in Andhra Pradesh. So I traveled all through. I came here. There were hardly 50 to 60 devotees around Swami.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami was also in the most beautiful form, vibrant, energetic. And
so this is which year?
62.
1962.
June 9th.
Yes. So Swami was perhaps in his 30s.
30s.
Early 30s.
26 plus.
26, yes.
36. He was 36.
Mm.
And he was very, very beautiful.
Mm.
The very first sight of a Swami made me understand that he is more than human.
Mm-hmm.
And if at all any God is there, any assumes any human form, it should be like Satya Sai only. So Swami is God.
You just felt that?
I just felt it. Nobody told me this.
If you can just describe how Bhagwan was at that time. Because, you know, there are very few people there now who have seen Bhagwan when he was in early 30s.
I think before we go into deeper discussion on Sadguru, this needs to be explained.
Sure.
That day, I walked with a knicker and a small shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
I reached Puttaparthi, Prashantrilayam, via Bukkapatnam.
Mm-hmm.
I crossed through Chitravati sands.
Mm-hmm.
So my feet were swollen.
Mm-hmm.
They were paining so much because it was hot.
You were alone?
I was alone, along with two more devotees.
Okay.
We all came.
Okay.
But they were not my fellow travelers. I just found them on the other side of the Chitravati. There was no water, we walked through.
Mm-hmm.
So I handed over my bag. Then the person who was taking care of the luggage said, Swami is standing there in the veranda, go and have his darshan.
Mm-hmm.
I just walked up. But Swami was on the extreme side of the veranda, that is towards lady's side, now as we can understand. I thought it will take some time for him to come towards gents. And I was just waiting. But to my surprise, just when I closed my eyes, in contemplation, then Swami would come. I just opened my eyes, maybe a fraction of a minute. From the other side, Swami was already in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
He patted on my cheeks because I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly he said, we are to meet today.
Mm-hmm.
You are also waiting to meet me today. Come inside. Then Swami squatted on the floor in the center of the veranda. He was very beautiful. He was wearing a silk lalchi and all.
Mm.
Well-dressed, an young Swami. Looking at everybody, Swami said, what you all want? Nobody replied. I also didn't reply. For me, it was first sight. It was in wonderment. I became numb after seeing Swami. Mind stopped working. Okay. Then Swami suddenly said, okay, I know what is to be given. Immediately he lifted his right hand and waved in the air in a circular form. He picked up something from somewhere, we don't know, we are all watching. His hands are empty, his palm was empty. Then he called me, come here. When I stretched my palm, he has put that is a black halwa.
Black halwa?
Halwa. A sweet meat.
But black color.
Black color.
Very unusual.
Yeah, very unusual. Black color. And it had lot of ghee.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hot. Quite hot, I could not really hold.
Mm-hmm.
Now if you see my palm, And when you compare this palm when I was just 12 years, it could be half.
Hmm.
Then it was in the center. Then Swami asked one question. What do you do with this? Can you imagine a 12-year-old boy who already traveled and hungry will say, I will eat. But what did I say? I always recollect that, Swami, I'll go and give it to all. Swami was very happy. With wide open eyes, he said, that what exactly Swami wants? Go and give.
Wow.
When I returned, because there were 50 people, they were taking some portion of this halwa as prasadam, because it was created in front of everyone. By the time I returned to my seat, my palm was empty, except ghee was there.
The smell of the ghee and
smell
the,
and
your hand was oily.
It was indeed greasy.
Mm.
Then Swami said, Ayyo Papam.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you come. Again he called me. Then on my fingertips, he just, with a thud, he just touched and said,
slap.
A gentle slap.
Mm.
Then whatever disappeared, whatever was spent, the same quantity of halwa was there in my hand.
Oh, again?
Again.
Again surface.
Just by mere touch. He didn't wave his hand this time. He touched my hand like this and there was halwa.
Wow.
Then much before I was to say anything, Swami said, now entire thing is yours. You go and eat.
Okay, now you can eat.
Now. Yeah.
And there was a reward for you in the first instance saying that, you know, I will give it to all. Yeah. And now he said, no, you can have it.
You can have it full. So
wow.
Swami teaches as Sadguru, one should remain a giver.
Fantastic.
And never a taker. That was the first lesson. At that age itself I learned.
Fantastic.
I think throughout my life Swami made me, kept me that way.
Fantastic.
In the same state.
I think as a 12-year-old you must have been really amazed.
Amazed. When I look back, who gave me that prerana? Swami. Who called me? Swami. Who made me sit in front of him? Swami. Who gave me that halwa and say I will distribute? See, unusual. But I said, and it happened.
Amazing. And how did your parents allow you to go alone?
No, I told them. I was, at my age of 12, I was indeed very mature enough at my mental level.
Mm-hmm.
They have tremendous confidence in me. And they gave me 16 rupees
mm-hmm.
for my travel.
Mm.
On the third day, Swami asked me, did you tell in the house?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he asked you?
Yeah.
Because I used, Swami will definitely
he asked me, do your parents know that you are coming to Sai Baba? That is how Swami said.
Mm.
He didn't use the word Swami. Do your parents know that you are going to Sai Baba? Yes, Swami. I used to just, as if somebody was telling me that he should be addressed as Swami, I started saying Swami. My parents allowed me. Very good, very good. You go back home. You have to do a lot of studies. Schools will reopen. Then I will see you at again 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
4 o'clock, he gave me a pair of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me exactly 16 rupees for my journey.
Wow, the
those
same amount.
Same amount.
Parents had given.
Those 16 rupees I never spent, they are still in my locker.
Wow.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, I can imagine what a treasure it is now.
Beautiful.
To have those memories. I think each moment
very precious,
of that event is an eternal source of inspiration.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Fantastic, sir.
Sir.
So that is how your journey began to the Sadguru. And after that, you've been blessed by him tremendously in so many ways.
Mm.
And as you mentioned, the first lesson that the Sadguru taught you was the art of giving.
Giving.
The art of giving. And I think that is what is the art of living. And that's what we saw in Bhagwan's life. In Sadguru Satya Sai's life, I think if we saw one thing which was there right from the time he assumed the human form, I think it was only that. He was only giving, and you had the chance to experience that first. And how was it after that?
Yeah, it was a very beautiful journey. In all my studies, I was always a good student, very good student. Scoring in all subjects about 90%.
Mm-hmm.
All Swami's grace, he said, you will study well.
Mm-hmm. On that first day?
He didn't say you should. Mm-hmm. He said, you will study well.
Mm-hmm.
You will come up very well. Remember Swami. Swami mm-hmm. will guard you, guide you. Like that he spoke to me. In those days, Swami used to speak for 1 to 1.5 hours.
In the interview room.
In the interview room.
Yes, long interview.
Long interviews were, we had some experiences when Swami spent with us about 2 hours.
Hmm.
But he was talking only on the spiritual matters.
Only adhyatmika.
Only adhyatmika, nothing else. He never, later part also, he never asked me what I studied, what I am doing, what I was not getting, what I was getting. These questions never had any place between me and Bhagavan, though I had many encounters with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I call them encounters because you are dealing with the Supreme.
Yes. So what were some of those really unforgettable encounters?
Unforgettable, I can recall one. When I was feeling it very difficult to wear the cross thread, because I'm a Brahmin by birth and I underwent this Upanayanam.
Yes.
I was performed with
sacred cross thread. Investing ceremony.
Then I told Swami, Swami, I'm unable to do Sandhyavandanam because I go for my work very early and I return late in the night. I don't find any time for that because these projects are too big for my age. At the age of 27, I handled World Bank projects.
Oh, is that?
So, in Punjab and Haryana. So you can understand how...
You were working for?
I was working with a Bombay-based company for some time. But most of my life, I'm on my own.
Okay.
That also I'll tell later how it happened.
Okay.
Then, what is Sanchavandanam? To keep the body, mind and soul intact. With a sense of equanimity, equilibrium, equipoise. When you already have these three, why should you wear? If it is becoming an obstacle, just to put hang it on. Believe me, I don't have the thread now.
Oh my
God. He said, for you there is no problem. You work, that's all.
Oh my God, this is so...
Perhaps it is very revolutionary.
Yes.
Really? That too with Swami.
Yes.
The Sanatana Sarathi.
As a Brahmin, you are supposed to do it at least twice or thrice a day.
Thrice.
Minimum actually thrice. Noon, dawn and dusk.
Correct.
And here Bhagavan says that all that Sandhya Vandana means is having a state of equipoise.
That's all. Equilibrium.
That is a
Samadhi
state.
Equanimity. Equanimity.
Equanimity.
At all levels. That you already have, no need. You need not bear. It is not wearing, but it is only a bearing, he said. You know how he coins the
yes.
words.
Oh, he's so placed with the words.
Placed with the words.
Wonderful.
So then I completed my food technology in Kanpur and I was well settled. Life was moving, but I was minding my work. I was not speaking about Swami at all. Not at all.
In those days.
In those days. I was keeping all my experiences to myself and... totally committed to my work schedules, my performance, my targets and all. But it so happened when I completed my USA tour, then I addressed small gatherings of 10 people in the houses. Like that, I think I spoke at 50 to 60 places.
And this was during which period?
That was 89 to 97.
Okay.
But the first one, the first break was in Geneva with international audience. Incidentally, the Venkatachalaya Garu has become the Vice Chancellor. He was in the audience on that day.
Mm-hmm.
Today our Chancellor is Venkatachalaya Garu.
Yeah, he's the Chancellor of
He was in the audience when I addressed in Geneva.
Okay.
He was there. He was
former Chief
practicing.
Justice.
At that time he was already Chief Justice of India.
Yes.
So, then onwards, I came back to Prashantinilayam and Swami called me for the interview or whatever. Swami spent a good time with me on that day, nearly 1.5 hours, and said, your Geneva speech is very good.
Mm-hmm. What did you speak on?
I spoke Satya Sai and Shirdi Sai are one and the same.
And this was to a gathering?
Gathering of intellectuals, elite. And it is an international audience. From different countries, these legal luminaries were there. So it is just a chance meeting. They said he has come from India. We will ask him to speak some spiritual. So it happened to be Thursday. There are some Swami devotees also. They brought some photograph. It was garlanded and I spoke for about one
hour. It was on the sidelines of any conference or?
No. It so happened. I have nothing to do with law.
Yes.
Incidentally, it so happened after. It's a long story to share with. But anyway, I was anchored, in fact, in that hostel. Some diplomat asked me to stay there for 3 days because I had a desire from my childhood to see the mountains in Switzerland.
Okay.
So Swami fulfilled that.
Okay.
How? Again, we'll speak later.
Okay.
And Swami can do anything, no?
Yes.
So that evening, when I went to meet a cousin of mine in Geneva, who was there for the conference, he said, oh, since you have come, why don't you speak about Bhagavan Baba? You are a devotee of Baba. He knows by the time.
Okay.
That is how it happened and I spoke.
Wonderful.
And the Swami, all-knowing Swami, referred to that speech. He said, you spoke very well. Swami is pleased. One should have that faith. What is there in the name and form? It is a consciousness that matters. Rama is not different from Krishna. Ramakrishna are not different from Shirdi Sai. These three are not different from Satya Sai.
Swami said,
it's all one and the same. Then again, as you know, His grace, it doesn't shower, but it pours.
Yes.
And the downpour started, and it was heavy on the day.
Mm-hmm.
First, He waved His hand and created one beautiful pendant. On one side it is Shirdi Sai, the other side it is Satya Sai.
Mm-hmm.
Small pendant. Then He just waved His hand and created one Rudrakshamala that had only 54 beads.
54 beads.
Four beads, not 108.
Mm.
Only 54.
Mm.
Then what He did, on one hand He was holding the mala, just created. The pendant on the left palm, He just lifted, pushed towards that,
mm-hmm.
without touching. It got fixed very firmly, as a very adept goldsmith can do. And it so happened.
Wow. And so you saw the making of this mala.
Yeah, making.
With the pendant.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonderful.
So then during those instances of getting interviews, Swami was always talking about Upanishads,
mm-hmm.
Brahma Sutrams, then Bhagavad Gita, the intricacies. He was not very much keen to tell me about the words used by Lord Krishna, the inner meanings, in-depth meanings, why He used that word. Like that.
Wonderful. I think that is one of those amazing facets that we saw in Bhagwan as a Sadguru, you know, explaining to us the obtuse concepts,
exactly.
Explaining to us the highest of truths in a manner that anyone can understand. If you can share with us, you know, your insights and whatever you have heard directly from Bhagwan or what you have understood of Bhagwan's teachings, you know, where in such a beautiful and a concept which is so difficult actually to understand, He's just given it to us on a platter.
Yeah.
If you can share any of such...
No, it's my pleasure as well as duty to share with you. It's not for me. Always Swami says, no, whatever Swami gives, it is not to you, it is through you, He told me one day. I recorded in my diary.
Fantastic.
When I give something, don't think it is to you, it is through you.
Just like Krishna giving to Arjuna.
Arjuna.
Through Arjuna. It's a true Arjuna.
Song. Yeah, yeah.
It's for the entire mankind.
Mankind.
Bhagavad
not
Gita.
For anyone.
It's happened through Arjuna. Yes.
So when the war was to commence, as we all know, Bhagavan decided to teach the Karma Bhakti Jnana Yoga's 3 into 6, 18 chapters, we know. We
That's
are very familiar with it.
That's
what it is. Then Arjuna had so many doubts and Lord Krishna was clearing them. In the beginning, it was Arjuna who never wanted to indulge in war.
Yes.
But it was Krishna who said, you should indulge in war. You have come only to perform this.
Yes.
Do your duty here. You can't go back.
Yes.
Then as we go through Bhagavad Gita, our deliberations or transmission, whatever we call it, goes on. Arjuna at one point says, now tell me what I have to do. Then what he should say, go and start the war. He didn't say that. Yogir bhavati Arjuna. You become yogi. How can a yogi indulge in war? Arjuna asks. Yogi means not growing a beard, not wearing a kashayam, saffron robes. Yogi means you take energy from me, you be with me. That is a real yoga. The Jivatma should always have a contact and a connectivity with the Paramatma. Then only you become a yogi. Become that. Then Paramatma does everything. You are only a tool in His hands. Saying so, Bhagavan also says, Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. I will take care of your yoga. If you become yogi, a yogam is created. I will take care. And Kshemam also. What is Kshemam for a Jivatma? Birthlessness. That these two I will take care. Then only Arjuna says, Karishye Vachanam Tava. Now I will do everything. Because yogam is taken care, kshemam is taken care, and God is going to indulge in war, Krishna is going to perform the war on His behalf. Then what else a Jivatma has to do? Nothing. Be associated or connected with the God. That is how Swami went on explaining Bhagavad Gita to me.
Fantastic. I mean, it's such a profound thing where,
yeah.
you know, He's saying all you have to do is you just learn to become a channel for God.
Become a channel. Even to become a channel, you must have the connectivity. It is to be plugged in, isn't it?
Yes.
Get plugged in all the time.
Yes.
Then current flows. Light is on, fan is on, AC is on, life is on.
Yeah. So as Bhagavan says, everything happens. The fan rotates not because of the switch.
Switch.
Correct. But because of the current.
Current.
So once you realize.
Yeah, exactly.
You are just a medium for that current.
And finally, in that interview, I still remember Swami said, up to the penultimate shloka, it is all a mental exercise, an intellectual synthesis. But the one shloka that we have to remember and recite every day is Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Pardho Dhanurtharaha Tatra Sri Vijayobhutihi Dhruvani Tirmatirmama. The last shloka. What does it mean? Swami told me. I was just listening to Bhagavan. When he really starts preaching or teaching, it is, the splendor is, I think our eyes cannot contain. We have to just listen to him very intently. When Lord Krishna himself is here to guide you, guard you and teach you, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, he is already Yogeshwara. He is Ishwara for all yogis. And the ultimate yogi is Krishna. He is ready to teach you. He is ready to guide you. What you have to do is wear all the time. There is preparedness. That is Siddhatva, purity, Shuddhatva. And all the time willing to obey these three. If the combination of the divine and mundane, if these two are in perfect alignment, Tatra Sri Vijayobhutihi. You are sure to gain the success. Victory is yours. Then what you will do with that success, Bangaru? Successful is one level. Meaningful is second level. Purposeful is ultimate level. That's what he told me.
Wow.
If you take the body, if you are successful in all ventures, that gives you happiness. That also causes arrogance.
Also causes arrogance.
Arrogance. Sometimes you feel you are leading a beautiful, pious life, and your life is indeed meaningful, your wealth, your jnana, your intellect is being imparted to the world, you are very happy. That gives you sattvika ahankara.
Sattvika ahankara.
Sattvika ahankara.
I mean, it is some sort of an arrogance.
Subtle arrogance.
Subtle arrogance.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might say positive arrogance.
Positive arrogance.
Nevertheless, it is arrogance.
It is arrogance. The nature is arrogance. But if one man is benefited by your existence, by your thought, by your look, then your life becomes purposeful. Lead that purposeful life. This is very, very important.
I think if you can repeat that again, because that is very important for all. In the sense, we have to move on from being leading a meaningful life, successful life first. Move on from successful life to a meaningful life.
Meaningful life, then purposeful life.
Then you can become
a purposeful life.
And how do you explain purposeful life?
My very existence should cause happiness to others. My knowledge should be imparted to as many people as possible. Whatever physical wealth I have should be used in good activities. And all my success should go to the society. Because as an individual, you are an individual. That is VST. Unless you become samasti, unless you become comprehensive, you are not total. That's what Swami says. What you will do with a lot of money, tons of money, putting in a godrej almirah? Put to proper use. And a successful life is, in all endeavors, in all attempts, when you become victorious, when you gain something out of all your activities, you are successful. But if you hoard, it is a crime. If you distribute, it is a joy.
If you hoard anything,
anything,
wealth or even knowledge.
Even knowledge, again, to you and through you. Yes. That is Sai's principle.
As they say, you are only a trustee.
Trustee and a sakshi. You are a witness to what is happening. And don't claim anything. Because you are not the cause. You are not the source. And you are nothing. When you think that you are nothing, you become everything. When you think that you are everything, you become nothing. That's what Swami told me.
Fantastic. And I think, as you explained, leading a purposeful life is at every moment of our life, if you would constantly reevaluate and think, am I existing for others?
Yeah.
Whatever I am doing now, am I doing it for others? I think, and that is what we saw in
Bhagavan.
When he used to always say, when I was a student, I remember on so many occasions, be it casual conversations or in formal discourses, you know, he used to always say, top to toe, I am selfless.
Selfless.
Swami used to always say that.
Yes.
And maybe at that time, you know, as a student, maybe you didn't really get the full import of what he was saying. But today when you reflect, I mean, from the time Bhagavan declared his avatar, from the time his advent happened, I think that is what he was doing all the time. Constantly worried about how to make people good.
Good.
How
and happy.
And happy.
Happy. That is why the loka samasta sukhano bhavantu has undergone a sea change in the hands of Swami. He said, samasta lokaha sukhano bhavantu. Lokaha, the lokams or the worlds that are seen, it is not enough. The unseen worlds also should be safe. That is Swami's blessing. Samasta lokaha, those that exist, all that exists should be safe and happy.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So how was this journey after that? I mean, you received such beautiful blessings from Swami and in trying to assimilate his message. And how was this journey after that? Because, you know, I think it was one phase of your life where you began more and more to assimilate his message and perhaps try to live some part of this message in your lives. So how was that experience after that as you tried to live these messages in your life? What are the sort of experiences that you got which confirmed in you about the potency of these messages? And I think after that, you know, you are more in a position to share this with all, with much more
authenticity.
And, exactly. You know, you say it with so much confidence because you yourself have gone through it. Can you share, you know, what were your sort of journey in this regard?
Yeah, there are many, but some I recollect. One, when I was doing some work in Punjab, I was coming back from a factory. I was to catch my flight in Chandigarh. I was coming from Malerkotla, that is the village. My car has to pass through the wheat fields. It was midday. Unless I start from that place by about 2 o'clock, I can't catch my flight in Chandigarh by 5. So somebody gave me a Fiat car. I was traveling in that. I didn't know the owner of that car was in hit list by the terrorists at that time.
Uh-huh.
And he was one of the finance ministers, or the then finance minister. My car was waylaid. I was surrounded by 4 terrorists.
And this is what time of the day?
Afternoon, 2 o'clock, post-lunch. I had my lunch, and as usual, I always carry a good book in my hand as a fellow traveler, a good company. I was going through the book, I was sitting in the back seat, and the driver was driving. Suddenly, car came to an abrupt halt. When I see, there were 4 terrorists, guns were there in their hands, and they were aiming to just hit me.
They thought you are the...
Maybe I may be belonging to that person.
That person.
They have to create some sensation perhaps. Then driver said, sir, think of God. Believe me, I did not think of Swami.
Mm-hmm.
Not even. There was no time.
Then I was shocked.
I mean, not shocked. I was wondering who these 4 are. Why my car is stopped. I was fearless. I was fearless. Okay. Absolutely, my mind was not disturbed. That is why equipoise...
Mm. But you just trying to understand the situation.
It takes a bit of time, no?
Time.
Maybe even 1 minute.
Hmm.
Then suddenly, he said, "Kahan se? From where?" I said, "I'm from Hyderabad. I have to catch my flight." Then one man suddenly said, the man on the left side, "Ye to Pardeshi hai, just leave him."
Hmm. He's a foreigner, leave him.
Just foreigner, you leave him, Pardeshi.
Because you are from South India.
Then... car started again. After 5 kilometers, the driver stopped the car. He opened the door, came and fell at my feet. "Sir, because you are there, I am saved. Otherwise, I thought I am to die on the day." Then suddenly I also found why they stopped the car, why they let me off. Believe me, as a bookmarker, I had Swami's photo.
Mm-hmm.
I told you, I was reading a book. And I was holding in my hand, right hand. Then there was a bookmarker. Bookmarker, only Swami's photo was there.
Mm-hmm.
The terrorist was looking perhaps at Swami's photo, and Swami must have given an instruction, "He's my devotee, don't do anything to him."
Mm-hmm. Never know what happened.
Never know. But it's a wonderful event. The story doesn't end there.
Mm-hmm.
It gains an importance and significance when it is clarified. It had some ratification. Then from there I came to Prashant Nilayam on that day. It was 7:45, 8 o'clock in the morning.
This is also in the 80s?
80s. 86. After Blue Star. operation.
Blue Star.
After Blue Star operation. Then Swami called me, go inside, sit there, I'll come. The first pillar between the bhajan hall and the entry room,
yes,
on the left side, the first pillar was my place.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I come to Prashantrilayam, Swami always made me sit there. I still wonder, I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
That day also I sat there and Swami did that darshan round and he immediately opened the door and called me inside. He said, you know, I got you protected.
Mm-hmm.
All for my sake, Bangaru, it was my duty.
It was my duty.
That is how Swami started. I was wondering, I have to thank Swami. On the other hand, Swami, you saved my life. I was to narrate the whole story. He didn't even allow me to say that because he is all knowing. So this is one incident. Then he said, I got you protected. He never said, I protected you. I got you protected.
Mm-hmm. And the amazing thing about Bhagwan is, you know, when you thank him, he will just say that it is my duty. In fact, I remember so many occasions like this, you know, one day when Bhagwan asked, Aarti was over and Bhagwan was leaving, then suddenly Swami decided to come back to the stage in Sai Kulwant Hall. And then he asked for the warden. And then he said, there was some program that you wanted to be staged. He said, no, Swami, it's already late. You have to leave, Swami. It's fine. There is no problem. Swami said, no. Something was supposed to be arranged today. Then Swami asked for the podium and then a talk was given. And then the warden said, Swami, this is too much shrama for you. This is so much of strain for you.
No, yeah.
It's already, like it was past 6:30, 6:45.
Mm.
And then Swami said, idi shrama kaadu bangaru, idi prema.
Prema. Wonderful. That is how he uses the words.
So amazing. And if you think Bhagwan's life as a Sadguru, I think that is what we saw all the time. All the time he was taking this strain to teach us so many lessons constantly. And for him, it was never shrama. For him, it was always only prema. And for that sake, and he will do any amount of hardship he will undergo,
yes,
any amount of discomfort he will undergo, so that the lesson that has to be taught for us is driven home.
Driven home.
Wonderful, sir. Can I ask you, what are the other lessons of life that you learnt from Bhagwan in this journey towards the Sadguru?
Yeah, I remember one beautiful, what I call, as a Diksha Guru, he told me one thing.
In fact, there are so many gurus.
So many gurus. Diksha Guru, Suchaka Guru, Mochaka Guru, Vachaka Guru, Nishiddha Guru, Karana Guru, so many.
Our philosophy is replete.
Almost replete. Then Swami said, if you ask for something, it is given.
Mm-hmm.
First statement. If you ask for something, it is given, always. God gives like mother. If you don't ask, everything is yours.
Mm-hmm.
So from something to everything. When everything is yours, there is nothing to be asked. So the first lesson and the final lesson in this life I learnt is, don't ask anything, don't seek anything, even from the Lord. Don't ask.
Because you never know. What is good for you?
What is good for us? And we feel sad if he doesn't grant. He doesn't grant because the prayer that we have made for may be granted and that may lead us to some desire. We don't know. That's why God, all-knowing God knows what is useful to us, what begets ananda, that is joy to us. That only he grants. So the only one fundamental principle is not to ask. So throughout my life, I never asked anything, never sought anything from Bhagavan. I'll tell you one thing. My wife was to go. She was to die. Doctor said, tomorrow morning we will conduct an operation and 100% sure she is not going to be there. Okay? How my reaction should be? What will happen without her?
Why are the doctors wanting to operate?
They want to, because they have to give a final trial.
Mm-hmm. But they were...
They were not sure of the success.
Mm-hmm.
They were not sure of the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
But they are sure of one outcome, that she will not survive. That they politely conveyed to me. And I coolly received, again, equipoise. Mm-hmm. That's why Swami said, those three words, they move my life to ultimate goal, perhaps. Then I said, let it happen, is according to Swami's will, it will happen. But let us see. Then next day morning, the operation theater was not ready. So they put off for 10 days. Mm-hmm. And because there is no operation, I had to work. I have some work in Garladin near Anantapur. Whenever I come to Anantapur, it's certain that I will come to Prashanthrilayam, see Swami's darshan and go back. That day, we were sitting on the veranda. A person who knows me very intimately, very gently, in almost utter silence, he asked me, "We came to know that your wife is not well. How is she?" He asked me. Swami was at a distance. Swami heard this. There is no chance. If he is a human being, he has no chance to listen. Because to the small... It is a gap.
It is a whisper.
Whisper. It is much lesser than whisper. I don't know correct word for that. Then Swami, he made a swift movement. I remember that.
This is during darshan time?
And after darshan. Okay. After darshan, he comes onto the veranda. No?
Yeah, yes, during in the veranda.
In the veranda. Suddenly, he swiftly moved and he came straight to me. Looking at him, the person who spoke to me in my ears, she is on medication, he is on meditation. Swami will take care.
Wow.
Then he created Vibhuti. Said, you go today, you had darshan, give this to your wife, everything will be all right. You come together. Ituri, this time you come together.
Oh my God. She is on medication and he is in meditation.
Meditation.
Wow.
Meditation, he was looking at his, showing his heart side, right side. He is meditating upon me, I will take care. Swami will take care. And she is fine.
Even till this day?
Till this day, she is more vibrant. She indulges in more activities. Almost every 2 months we come here. No trace of illness now. She is fine.
And this happened
where is 93? Year?
This happened which year?
93. 20 years passed by. And no trace of illness yet. That is Swami's grace. Had I asked Swami what will happen to my wife if she dies, I'm in the middle age, then he would have kept quiet. Because I didn't ask and follow the dictum and followed Swami's principle of not asking for, Swami granted everything. So these are several such instances. As I told you, I never pray to Swami for any materialistic thing. I can very honestly tell before all of you. And he has never given me an occasion to seek anything from him. He gave me everything.
Yes. Mm. And I think that is common experience of many people who don't go to the Lord with any sort of materialistic desire.
Yeah.
Then the Lord himself actually takes care. Because, you know, as the Bible says, seek the kingdom of God. And everything else shall be added onto you.
Added onto you.
And I think it's an experience of many people.
Yes.
Who really trust Bhagwan to look after them.
When some incredible things happen, when I just look back, I always wonder how beautifully Swami has executed this. So doership should go. Second
yes.
point.
Yes.
When Swami doesn't claim anything, having done so much to the creation,
yes.
he doesn't claim anything.
Yes.
He said, it's my duty to do. What a beautiful statement it is. Are we saying that? It's my duty, I served you. It's my duty, I loved you. We are not saying, I loved you because I want happiness out of that.
Swami said, I loved you because I want to love myself.
Myself. So, the doership should go. That, of course, I learned from Swami. When he doesn't claim, the creator doesn't claim, what is that we have to claim? We have nothing to claim. This is second principle in spiritual practice.
Yes.
The third is, get connected to Yogi Bhavatu Arjuna. Get connected to Bhagavan. It is like a small ship in sea waters. The small bird was there atop. It was thinking, I am taking the ship to the shore. It doesn't know the ship is taking the bird to the shore.
The bird thinks. Yeah.
Bird thinks, I am taking the ship onto the other shore.
Sure.
No, no. It is the other way around. It is the ship that is taking the bird.
Yes, actually, the other analogy that comes to my mind is, you know, you find this little two-year-olds, you know, who would sit on the bike, and the dad would make them sit on the bike, and, you know, as the father rides the bike, he also will put his hands on the...
And feels that he is driving.
Yeah, and he feels...
The father.
Yeah. He's driving, you know. Right. Many times, you know, if we achieve something, suddenly, okay, we have given a beautiful talk, we have written something, or, you know, we just feel, wow, you know, I have done it. But see, only when you look back, you realize that it's absolutely someone else. The force behind is so magnificent.
The force within, sir.
Within, exactly.
Not behind or beyond.
Fantastic.
Force within.
Force within.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That is Swami.
Fantastic.
See, if you can transcend the form of Swami, even when he was in the body.
Yes.
At that level, if you can transcend, you can really experience the divinity of Bhagavan. Divinity of Bhagavan in multilateral ways. Otherwise, if you confine to the endearing form, you will enjoy and go. We have not come here to enjoy the darshan. We have to get the imprint on our lives. I think that Swami has indeed granted me. I am very happy with...
If you can, you know, that is what you mentioned was really so profound. That the thing is, we are not here to enjoy darshan, but we are actually have to install that feeling in our heart.
In our
and
heart.
To be able to experience it anywhere, wherever we are.
And whatever we do.
Whatever we do. Can you share how you have experienced this in your life?
So each minute, even this day, speaking to you today, is also a small grant by Bhagavan. Otherwise, this cannot happen. Yeah, I will tell you how he is a Sadguru, how he is not a mere teacher. My daughter, Sharvani, was doing her class 3. Then when Swami came to Hyderabad, there were around 1.5 lakh people outside waiting for Swami's darshan. It was lunchtime. So everybody was busy in taking their lunch and getting back for Swami's darshan at 4 o'clock. I was standing near Swami's dining table. I was attending on Swami on that day. Then suddenly Swami said, never it happened, only once it happened. And that too on that day. You go and call your wife and daughter. From where? 1.5 lakh people are there outside. How to identify them first? How to get them first? And Swami will not stay for a very long time during that lunch. Till the lunch is over, he will be there. Then he will retire. But these questions were not there in my mind. Swami said, I went out. I just opened the door. My wife and daughter came to have a glass of water. They were just behind the wall.
Oh my God.
I cannot see. Even Swami, if you think he is a human being, he also cannot see like this in a closed room. Then they were there. Suddenly I said, Swami is calling both of you. Come inside. The time taken was only to open the door and to close the door in 1 minute. Swami knows that they are there. Swami told my wife, have Pada Namaskaram. You are pining for it. In Telugu, he said, you are pining. Chala edru chustunnam, chesko bangaru, chesko. And he gave the divine lotus feet into her palms and she was contented. Then my daughter was standing next to me. Swami fondly called her. What are you studying? Third class. No, no, Murthy's daughter should be first class. Third class is a wrong expression. Class 3. Is the correct expression. Teachers are weak. What we can do?
Don't say third class. Say
class 3.
Class 3.
Hmm. See, the expression should be polite, it should be appropriate.
Dignified.
And the connotation should be spiritual. You can't just say, I did my PhD and all. Don't say all that. Swami says, whenever you say you did PhD, pure heart is divinity is PhD, Swami said, no? In one of the things.
Pure heart divinity. Yes.
Is pure heart is divinity. If your heart is pure, you are already divine. You wear that degree. That's all.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, this is a very big ocean. The experiences are plenty, galore. Each one teaches you one dimension. What to do and what not to do at the same time. That is why he is Sadguru. He tells you to do something, at the same time he tells you not to do the certain things. If we don't indulge in those things that Swami has prohibited us from doing, then you become spiritual. It is by elimination process. That's called neti neti, na iti, na iti, na iti. Then finally that is this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, you just heard the first part of a conversation with Mr. V.S.R. Murthy, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan and a brilliant orator, especially in Telugu, who has traveled widely expounding on Bhagwan's message. In conversation with him was Radio Sai's Bishu Prushti, and this was recorded in the studios of Radio Sai on July 13, 2013. If you have any comments or suggestions, please feel free to write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listener, with this we come to the end of this morning segment, Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashanthinilayam. It's me, Sunil, signing off, offering this segment at the Divine Lotus Feet of our dear Lord Sai. You could email us your feedback, as always, to listener@radiosai.org. You could also WhatsApp us to this number, 9393258258. At 11:30, Bishu will join you with his segment, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you for staying tuned, and Jai Sai Ram.